I have, at many times, taken them for granted. But upon being reminded of them, I am sure glad I got them. And we need to be reminded at times of how important are things that we have that we do take for granted. I wouldn't want to lose even one of those. I've heard folks are losing all of them except for one, and that's touch. I've heard of folks losing feeling in a place or here or there, you know, things of that nature. But I've not really heard of anybody that lost all touch. Touch is what puts us into direct contact with the world that we live in. Touch is what puts us into contact with people. It's how we connect. We touch what we want to get to know, what we want to understand. We take things apart. We investigate them. We scratch them. We put an arm around it. Touch is how we get in contact with things around us. Can you imagine not being able to touch those that you love? Our touch might be one of curiosity, it might be one of help, compassion, love, tenderness. And our touch can change the things that we touch. I want to, this morning, remind us of a touch that is superior to any other. And that's the touch of Christ. When He extends a hand into our lives, He produces changes that no other touch can. Let's read a little bit and we'll go from there. When He was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him, saying, "Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean." And Jesus put forth His hand and touched him, saying, "I will. Be thou clean." And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, "See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." When Jesus touched the leper, it showed that He wanted to be connected to this man's life. Jesus wasn't afraid of leprosy. Wasn't afraid of touching. This man was... He was doomed. And he knew it. But he also had something else. As we look at this, he had a good working handle on who Jesus was and what Jesus could do. He knew he was in trouble. He knew that he was doomed. But he also saw someone that was above that. "Lord," he says. You know what? Every lost soul is in the same condition this leper was. Every lost soul is doomed. Doomed to be ravaged by the disease of sin and eventually separated from God to spend an eternity in hell. Sin, my friend, is wreaking havoc on each and every one of our bodies this morning. It's a consequence of the fall. You look to your left and you look to your right and you will see a pilgrim with the blemishes of leprosy working the wages of sin in their life. These bodies aren't going to leave here. Romans 3:23 tells us that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. 6th chapter in the 23rd verse tells us that the wages of the sin that we have is death, eternal separation from a holy and righteous God. Is all of that a message of doom and gloom to you this morning? Well, it is, but only to those that don't know Jesus Christ as Lord. That's the message, the doom and the gloom of humanity apart from Jesus Christ and what He brings in Himself. Physical healing, as wonderful as it is only temporary. It's spiritual healing that we all need. And it's that spiritual healing that makes us all what the Scripture calls whole. Does that old song say, what can make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's what makes us whole, what He did, and our acceptance of that. Truth is, we need a touch from the Master is what we need. We need a touch from our Master. Take a trip with me for just a moment. Let's take a look at a couple of scriptures. Over in Luke, if you will. Go to Luke chapter 8 for just a moment. I want you to look at verse 49. It says, while he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter's dead, trouble not the Master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John and the father and the mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, maid, arise. And her spirit came again, and she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. Let me take you over just a little further over into Ephesians for just a minute. What it says in the beginning of the chapter 2. It says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. He quickens our spirit, makes us alive unto Him. Thank God for the touch of Jesus. Amen. Amen. He comes to where we are, and He's willing to touch those who will cry out to Him. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This leper back here said, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Cried out to him. Some desperation at the end of the trail as far as he was concerned, and he cried out knowing that there was one that could save, one that could help, one that could cleanse him. 1 John 1:9 says, if we will confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. How powerful the touch of Jesus. how powerful that touch is. Humanity, of which we obviously are a part, humanity is a bunch of dirt clods. We came from this earth. We will return to this earth. And between the birth and the grave, we'd have no hope without a touch from Jesus. He blew life into these clay shells that we live in. And He reveals Himself to us, allowing us to use the faculties that He gave us and the choices that we've been given, that He opened us up to invite Him to come into our lives. Jesus says in the third chapter of Revelation, He says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear My voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with Me. That's the same version of Romans chapter 10 and verse 9 that says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And the moment this dirt clod that is made in the image of God looks up and cries out, Lord, He makes us clean. He makes us whole. I'm reminded of a story I read about H.A. Ironside, an old preacher of yesterday. Never met the man, but I get the picture of him being very very studious in the things of God. Story goes that he was in a restaurant, a very crowded restaurant, sitting at a table waiting on his meal to be delivered. The restaurant being crowded and no seats available, a stranger walked in and said, Do you mind if I join you? Dr. Ironside said, Sure, please have a seat. The gentleman sat with Dr. Ironside. His food came, and he bowed his head, clasped his hands, put his hands up to his forehead, and said grace quietly over his meal. When he had finished with his prayer and was about to begin the meal, the man asked him, Do you have a headache or something? Dr. Ironside said, No. He said, Well, you were looking down at your food. Is there something wrong with your food? He said, No, there's nothing there wrong there. He said, I was just thanking God before I eat. Oh, he said, You're one of those. He went on to say, Well, I never give thanks for my meal. He says, I earn what I spend. He said, I work hard and I don't have to thank anybody when I eat. I just dig right in. Dr. Ironside said, Yes, sir. You're just like my dog. That's what he does too. Not just our president that called somebody a dog, is it? Dogs and hogs are not made in the image of God. And that's what it's talking about in the image of God, that we're made different, that we are unique, that we are special, that we have a soul, that we are a higher being than an animal. And made in that image, we have a knowledge. Oh, it may be dim early on, but we have a knowledge that there's a God. You have to unlearn that knowledge. It's what our systems that are in place are very good at trying to push. Unlearning our young people, unlearning our kids that there is no God. A lot of unlearning and indoctrination being taken place in this old world today. But the truth is the truth. We are made in the image of God. And we are quite different from the animal kingdom. And the fact that we can bow our head and thank God for our food, the fact that we don't just dig right in and think that we had something to do with all of that, the fact that that all of those things are true, should bring us to the place of understanding that we can be saved, that there is someone that is in charge and in control of all of these things. That's the power of His touch that brings us around, that shows us the truth. It's the most important touch of our lives. We have no life apart from His touch. And so the first thing I want you to see this morning is that His touch transforms the doomed. If you've never surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you've never yielded to Him in the pardon and forgiveness of sin, I say to you as tenderly as I know how this morning, it is not going to go well with you. There is condemnation in your future. You are condemned already. Something has to change in order for that to be changed. Now I want you to look at this. Go back to Matthew 8. Take a look down at the 14th verse. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Not only does His touch transform the doomed, His touch transforms the diseased as well. There are laws of nature. Have you figured that out? When was the last time you dropped something on your toe? There are laws of nature. Gravity works, and it works all the time. Those laws of nature, Jesus wrote, put into place. The laws of nature are not going to change. They will not change. They're immutable laws. But sometimes the Lord reserves the right to suspend them. And He has the right to do that. What is impossible with man is possible with God. You believe in miracles this morning? Well, four of you do. I believe in miracles. And I believe that Christ is the only miracle worker. And that's where I'd part ways with a bunch of my friends out there. I believe He's the only miracle worker. That He is not investing that in men on this planet. That it's His work. And that when He suspends the laws of nature, He is the only one that can and will do exactly that. I'm not a miracle worker, nor are you. It's the Lord that is the miracle worker. His touch transforms the doomed. His touch transforms the diseased. If there's a healing that's going to take place, He will do it. And when He does so, what He's doing is He's suspending the laws for your benefit. I think that's a huge blessing, don't you? I think that's worth being thankful for, don't you? I'm so thankful that the little things that come into my life physically don't take me out. But one day it will. One day, instead of saying yes and I'm on it, He'll say no. And it may be the vehicle, the means by which He brings me home with Him. Mark chapter 7, let's take a look at something else. I want you to take a look at verse 32. And they bring unto Him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech, and they beseech Him to put His hand upon him. And He took him aside from the multitude, and He put His fingers into his ears, and He spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. His touch transforms the doomed, his touch transforms the diseased, and his touch transforms the deaf as well. What could be better than being able to hear and speak after years of silence, do you think? Wouldn't that be wonderful? To be able to hear and to be able to speak after not having been able to do so for a long, long time. You reckon that man told his story? Huh? I think that's what it says. Look at verse 36. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it. He said, you don't need to be telling folks about that. And the man said, forget you. I'm letting it be known to everybody what done took place to me in all of this. What are you doing now that you can hear the Master? Can you hear him this morning? What are you doing now that you can hear him? Are you publishing your story? Are you speaking out about what he tells you, about what he teaches you, about what he shows you? You know what? You're not going to get in trouble. This old boy here had an opportunity to get in trouble because the Lord said, don't need you to be spreading this. But for you and me that have come into the family, that's not our mandate. He tells us, go tell the story. Maybe he should have told us, don't be saying nothing. Keep it a secret. And then maybe within we'd have done what this old boy did right here. And all of that, huh? So his touch transforms the deaf as well. Listen to me. At one point in here, you weren't listening to the Lord, could care less about the things of God. But when you surrendered your life to him, that all changed, supposedly. It should have changed in your life. Now your ear ought to be cocked in his direction 24/7, listening intently for the things of God, and then being very obedient to follow out his commands, which are to share that gospel and to spread that news and the good news of what has taken place in your life to the ends of the earth. So his touch is transforming to the deaf as well. Transforming touch our Lord has. Take a look at this in Matthew chapter 9, if you will. Matthew chapter 9. Let's look at verse 28. It says, and when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I'm able to do this? And they said unto him, yea, Lord. There's that Lord again. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith be it opened, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. I wonder if they told. Huh? See that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all of that country. Another thing that his touch will do is that it transforms the darkened. Those that were darkened, his touch can transform. Let me take you back over here for a minute and connect two or three scriptures, then a couple of thoughts with this same thought. Let's go to Romans chapter 1, if you will. Listen to it, verse 18. It says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. This is giving you a picture of what man is like. And the idea here is that God has put himself out there to show us who he is. And that if we'll look around, we ought to be able to see God's handiwork everywhere. That he has manifest himself everywhere in this old dark world. It's his touch that transforms the darkened ones. What does it say in John chapter 12? John chapter 12. Verse 32, he says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." That's the idea. That's what we're talking about here with this transformation and the touch that the Lord puts out here. With all of the things that he's put out here for us to see and to know that there is a God. There is a God. And then he says, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men to myself. That even includes Matthew 27 for just a moment. Matthew chapter 27. You following with me this morning? Everybody okay? Matthew chapter 27. Stringing all this together a little bit here today. Don't get out in the weeds. Stay in the center. Matthew 27, taking a look at verse 54. "Now when the centurion and they that were with him, watching Jesus, saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying what? Truly, this was the Son of God." He says, if I'm lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto myself. And what he does and his touch does is it transforms those that are darkened, you see. This man had been previously darkened. But now he saw more clearly who this man was because he had been lifted up and was drawing these people to himself in all of this. You get me? Well, all right. It's the touch that transforms when we're talking about the touch of Jesus Christ. And his touch transforms the doomed. His touch transforms the diseased. His touch transforms the deaf. His touch transforms the darkened ones as well. Go down to Matthew 17. We'll look at another piece of it. Beginning verse 1. "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up to a high mountain apart, and was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou will, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah. When he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only." Sometimes things happen in our life that we don't understand, that we don't get. And so Jesus also has a good way of touching us in that condition as well. When we're dismayed, that's when Jesus can come and touch us and help us to make some sense out of what it is that we're going through. So his touch transforms the dismayed as well. You can think about that through all the accounts, many accounts in Scripture, if you will. I think back to the 3 Hebrew youths that were thrown into the fire. I think that they may have been a little bit concerned about what was about to take place. There might have been some dread in their heart as they were facing what they were facing there. But the Master came, and he touched them where they were, walked where they were, and walked with them through this fire, and showed them the way, you see. See, he is good at bringing that transforming touch when things dismay us. What about old Daniel? Huh? Says that he slept in the lion's den. I'm going to tell you what, that's an old boy that's prayed up, isn't it? But there was a king that was not so prayed up. You remember him? Who paced about in his place in that night. But the Lord got a hold of him and touched that king. Touched that king that night. You see, I see the story of Daniel being more about the king than it is about Daniel himself. He's doing all right. It was that king that needed to be touched through the situations there. And so the Lord touched and transformed that king in his dismay during that long night there. I think about the disciples in the storm in Mark chapter 6, how they were dismayed about the events that were taking place there. And the Lord came along and touched them in their distress, touched them in their dismay, and showed them that he was there to walk through them with these things. There's another story. Let me show you this one again. John chapter 8. Here's another story that shows us another touch that the Lord puts on someone here. John chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. Jesus went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? And they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. What we have here is a woman that's been deserted. Deserted. And what we're going to see here is we see the master touching her in that moment of desertion and showing her that she is no longer alone and that he's there. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said to her, Where are your accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. The touch of the Master that transformed this situation, that transformed this woman. She knew somebody was for her. That she wasn't a castaway, that she was no longer deserted in all of these things. She had somebody that was on her side. And that's what the Master does. He comes to us and he touches us in our need. And shows us that he's for us. That he loves us. And that he cares about everything that touches our lives. Friends, he knows how to meet your need. And he knows how to bring you out of your doom. Out of your disease. Out of your deafness and darkness. He knows how to come alongside of you in your desertion. Your doubt, your dismay, your distress. He knows the dread that you have in your heart. And it's a touch from him that can transform that into something else. I'm wondering here this morning if there's any folks here that need a touch today. Wondering if we have folks in the house that just need a touch from the Master today. Huh? Have some of these issues going on in your life? Just need him to come to where you are and let you know that he's in charge. You do know that we are His feet, yes? You do know that we are His hands, yes? We are the hands that He wants to touch this world with. We're the feet that He wants to take the message to the four corners of the globe with. He tells us that we are to bear one another's burdens. He tells us that we're to confess our faults one to another that we might be healed. He's here this morning. And He wants to touch you this morning. If you'll be honest with Him. If you'll be open with Him. And if you'll let Him. And He'll touch you. With His very presence. And He may use someone here to get it done. But He's good at that. This morning, as I get to thinking about all of us going, you know, a whole bunch of schools and everything's going back in, and all this recreation time coming to an end, and all this different stuff in flux and upside down and backwards and all, and I get to thinking about the needs that we have in the church, and all I have been thinking about is, boy, we just need a touch. We need a touch from the Master. We got folks that are sick, we got folks hurting, we got folks anxious, we got folks concerned, we have financial needs and spiritual needs and mental needs and all kinds of needs. And what it just boils down to is that each of us just needs a touch from the Master, because He is good at what He does. He is so good at what He does. And so we whistle along and, you know, sing ourselves a Don't Worry, Be Happy song, when what we really need to do is just basically surrender and allow Him to touch us right where we are. You understand what I'm saying? So we come in, we listen, and we leave, but somewhere in there the response is missing. The response that we have to what He's calling us to. And so this morning, I want to make provision in a small way today for us to be a little bit selfish and personal about things. Usually when you ask people to if they have something they want to pray about, yeah, they do. It's about somebody else. My neighbor, my grandma, my grandpa, my dog, my whatever, need this or need that or need the other. I think we overlook the obvious so many times that we're the one that needs something. We're the ones that need to be responding and being changed. And if we're concerned about someone else, that's wonderful, but what would the Lord have us to do? What would the Lord want to change in us as a result of our concern for someone else? You see, we're going to have to take a long, hard look at ourselves in some of that. So what I'm going to do this morning as we close up today and give you opportunity to do something a little bit different, I want to have Brother Chester and Al, you guys come to the forefront, if you will. Ronnie, come on. Wes. Scotty, somebody can handle that. Come with me. Where's the rest of our deacons? We got any more sitting in here? Got some out serving in different places right now. Several of our deacons on the property serving and doing some other things at the moment. But I'm having these fellows come. These are deacons, deacons emeritus. And these are good men. And you know that because you chose them. And you chose them for a reason. Because they care. And I'm going to tell you that having been with all of these men and prayed with these men, and served alongside these men, you're not going to find anybody in this church that loves you more. They love you and they care about you. And they want the best for every one of you, I guarantee you. I have heard them cry, I have heard them work, I have seen their heart when it comes to you. And you are lifted up, you are prayed for, and you are cared for beyond what you could even imagine, even with these individuals here today. And so I have them with me this morning to come up here. And what I want to do is I want to, during our invitation time today, you may have something going on in your life that you need a touch for. And these guys are up here, and they're ready and willing to pray for you. And if you've got something that you want to share that will be in confidence, and I assure you it'll be in confidence. These men do not have loose lips. You want somebody that'll pray for you. You want somebody that'll pray with you. These men are the men that you can trust. And I'd encourage you to make use of them. You need a touch? They're here to put a touch on you this morning. They want to deal with anything and everything and help you in your life this morning. And they'll pray for you and with you, and they'll carry it out of this room and pray for you in their private time as well. There's one area that I'm going to reserve for myself this morning. If you're here this morning and you've never been touched in the matter of salvation, rather than come see one of these men, come see me. Because I'd love to talk to you about what it takes to be a child of God and know it this morning. So here's the deal. You can use an old-fashioned altar. Do it on your own. You can come and visit with one of these fellas and have them pray for you. You need to be saved this morning. Come visit with me. I'd love to take the Word of God and show you how that can happen right here now. Everybody understand where I'm going with this morning? This is our time together. Let's stand for prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that you've given us to come into your house this morning. Lord, we are not like a family. We are a family here. And I ask you, dear Heavenly Father, to let the family, Lord, tend to the family today. Lord, that you might touch us as members, Lord God, through the men that you've provided for us. We'd ask you, Father, to do that this morning. We hold nothing back. We ask you, Father, just to help us to be real with ourselves, real with you, and real with each other. Lord, you tell me in your word that we can be healed, that we can be made whole. Sometimes that takes confession. Sometimes that cleansing doesn't come until we may have admission about what we're involved in or what we're not involved in. So, Father, I just ask you this morning just to help us to be real with each other. Help us to be discreet, caring, compassionate. I just ask you to have your way this morning. Lord, there's some folks that need a touch this morning. Touch them. I pray thee in Jesus' name. And amen.